on Cambridge 105 Radio. With the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Hello and welcome along to a 105 Sports special here on Cambridge 105 Radio, providing you with the latest updates on the coronavirus and its impacts in local sport. This week we get the latest from Cambridgeshire Cricket's Ben Wallace on the suspension of the professional cricket season by the ECB until the 1st of July and how it could foreshadow a similar outcome for the recreational game as well. We also have some great community stories to talk about, and sticking with cricket, Sawston and Babraham have been trying their best to raise money for the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust. They set the challenge of running, cycling and walking 1,000 kilometres. Find out how they got on in just a little bit. Well, Cambridge United Women's manager Ben Yeomans joins me also to discuss how he made sure the first ever Women's Hunts Cup final went ahead despite the lockdown restrictions. He also tells us all the info about the 2020-21 trial registrations which have recently opened. And also Andy Jeffries back on the show. He joins me again as the village of Longstanton are expecting a visit of some famous intergalactic film characters. Stay tuned to find out who I'm talking about. So thanks very much for tuning in. My name is Ollie Slack. If you want to get in touch, you can do. Of course, we're not in the studio again this week, but the best place to find us is on social media at 105 Sports on Twitter and Facebook, the place to do so. Now, before we start, let's just bring you up to date with the latest at Cambridge United. They have released 9 of 12 players who will be out of contract at the end of June. Those players are the following: Jabba Abire, Reggie Lamb, Sami Carruthers, George Taft, Paul Lewis, Dan Jones, Sam Bennett, Jordan Norva-Williams and Finlay Iron. Three players, the other three players remain under contract discussions: Greg Taylor, Harrison Dunk and Liam O'Neill. The rest of the first team squad, other than those on loan, will be staying put for next season. Now, we will be covering all of that extensively on a special programme on Cambridge 105 Radio on Saturday at 12 p.m. Myself and Tim Armitage bringing you the latest on that. We'll keep you up to date with any more news we get as well on the social media pages at 105 Sport on Twitter and Facebook. Let's get back to this evening's show then. And first up, it's my chat with Cambridgeshire Cricket's Ben Wallace on the latest suspension of the professional cricket season by the ECB. The ECB did release a statement on Friday announcing that it's suspended now until earliest July the 1st. This is Ben explaining a little bit more about what the statement said.
It's very much in line with the, in terms of where we are at the moment with the government, the science and the data and everything like that. Obviously, it's laid out quite clearly from a professional game point of view what will now be missing from the schedule. And obviously, they've also laid out what they've tried to do in terms of putting blocks of different forms of cricket in. They'll make sure that they aren't focusing, I think, on one or two bits. But obviously, that's an initial thing that they've announced. And we don't really know anything more than that from that point of view. Obviously, from a recreational cricket point of view, it is as released earlier that the recreational game remains suspended until further notice. So there's no real further updates on that. Obviously, in line with the government guidance at the moment, we are still in this lockdown period until I think it's at least May the 7th. Hopefully I've got my dates right there. So obviously until after that date and until some further announcements, we as the general public obviously can't really go out and do anything anyway. So my own opinion is I can't see anything else being really announced until after that, or until we know what's done after that. But that's just my own opinion. And but the statement remains the same around the recreational game. Obviously, it's not got an end date on it, but it remains suspended until further notice at present.
If there was any part of the game or facet of the game that the ECB would like to desperately get sorted, it of course would be the professional game, because it brings in the money and really keeps the sport going. The fact that's been postponed to at least July the 1st, does that suggest we'll maybe see a similar line with regards to the recreational game in weeks to come?
I can't see anything happening before that date with regards to the recreational game. Again, my own personal opinion. But yeah, I can't see anything happening before that July the 1st date.
The ECB also released some interesting information on the 17th of April, a couple of Fridays ago, regarding how recreational clubs can sort after help. There's the emergency loan scheme, which is providing shortfalls in sort of the essential day-to-day running of maintenance and costs and that sort of thing. There's also a return to cricket grant scheme. This is for clubs who are prevented from taking that loan. Just provide a bit more info on those, how clubs, if they're listening and want to go about trying to apply for either the loan or the grant scheme, how they can do that.
Yeah, the ECB have been obviously quite quick to put things in place, and this is on the back of the bits that the government and Sport England had also put in place. So we have the information all on our website. It has been emailed and sent round to clubs directly and via social media, but we kind of look at it in terms of a flowchart in terms of how clubs should approach it, whereas we point them towards the government funding first of all, in terms of business rates and small business grants and things like that, because some clubs are set up in a way that they can access those, and that should be the first port of call for them. And we know one or two clubs in the area have already gone down that route. The next point, we would point them towards Sport England and looking at the Emergency Community Fund. That is a bit of an arduous process, but we do know of clubs that have applied for it and cricket clubs that have been successful already. So that's another one that we would point them to after the government funding. And then if they aren't eligible for those, then we look into the ECB emergency loan scheme, first of all. And all the details are on the website, and clubs can access different pots of money dependent upon the kind of club that they are. All of the details and guidance notes are all on the website there, and myself and the rest of my team are there to help clubs through that process and direct them down different routes if we can, and then also utilise the regional facilities managers at the ECB who will pick up that application if they went down that route. And then the last one we would look at is the Return to Cricket grant, as you mentioned, which is for clubs and leagues. Leagues can also access that grant who aren't eligible for any of the first three. And obviously there's a difference in terms of turnover. And if you turn over below £15,000 and you are prevented by your constitutions from getting a loan, or from a financial point of view, haven't got the infrastructure to be able to commit to loan repayments, etc. So there is that option, which would be the last one that we would point clubs to. So all of those details are there. One point, we have just done a funding webinar for clubs in partnership with Essex Cricket in the Community and Cricket East, which was attended by three or four clubs I spotted on the call from across Cambridgeshire. And the recording of that webinar is now available on our website and has been posted on our social media platforms. That goes into a lot of detail, and there's Duncan from the ECB on there talking people step by step through the ECB emergency funding support programs. So if you do want to get that in detail, then please feel free to log on to the recording, which is on there, and it talks you through it.
Some very useful information, Ben. That can be found on camscricket.org.uk.
Yeah, everything's on camscricket.org.uk. There's a special on the homepage, there's a special COVID-19 updates for clubs, leagues and volunteers button in the middle of the page. If you click on that, all of the information that we get around COVID and next steps and recreational game statements and everything, all of the information is in one place, so you can access it, and we update it as soon as information comes in.
As well as all of this, there's been a number of clubs on social media and throughout the community who are doing great work. We spoke to the guys at Islam a couple of weeks ago about some of the stuff they're doing in the community. Sawson and Babraham, of course, we're speaking to up next here on the 105 Sports Special. Also, Wisbech as well are doing a number of things like trying to raise money for the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust. You must be really proud of how the local clubs in the area have sort of reacted to the virus and found positive ways of reaching out to their communities and people.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. We have a saying, and you've probably heard it before, that from a cricket club being the hub of a community, and there's a number of examples where clubs have been really innovative in terms of what they've been doing. At this time of year, the season, recreational season, would have probably been about a week old, maybe a couple of weeks old in some cases. And the social side of the game, as well as the competitive and the playing side of it, is one thing that pulls everyone together. At the moment, that's the big hole probably in a lot of people's recreational sport, is that being around teammates, being around other families and members and things like that. And for what they've been able to do, utilising the likes of Zoom and And also individually, and the virtual challenges and everything has been fantastic. And it's great to see people getting behind. I mean, there's what the Sourcemen are doing around raising money for the NHS. Same with Wisbeach. It's really good. Chatteris are doing something around, I think, walking to a neighbouring or a club teamed within in Australia or something like that, which we saw the other day as well. So it's fantastic. And all of the bits and pieces of the challenges that they're doing around, I saw a lot of the guys doing the 2.6 challenge over the weekend, where some of the clubs got involved in our back tap relay challenge that we put out. And we try and make sure that we give them people the opportunity to get involved in all of our, the challenges that we post and everything like that, and doing as much as they can do to stay connected with their communities and their members over this time. Cause it is a tough time. We know that, but by doing what they're doing, obviously when we do get to the end of this period, it'll be great to see that everyone comes out of the other side and potentially we can get back to playing some cricket outside rather than the virtual stuff we're doing.
That is the hope. Ben, thanks very much for joining us. Great update, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
No problem, Ollie. Thanks for having me on again.
Sports on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So that was Cambridge Cricket's Ben Wallace talking to me there. Now let's bring Aaron Pleasure into the conversation, Sourcemen of Abraham Club captain. Now, Aaron, thanks very much for coming on the show. Before we talk about your excellent community work, let's just come off the back of the ECB statement and the professional game has been suspended until July the 1st. Of course, the recreational game is still suspended as well. You were due to play Frinton on Sea in your first ever home EAPL game on the Saturday just gone. You must be really missing your cricket at the moment.
It was a massive shame. The club had prepared hugely for the first game and there's not a lot we can do about it, unfortunately. It was going to be against Frinton, really, really good side. The twos hadn't got a game, so it was all arranged to sort of get up there and support. But the main thing at the moment is staying safe. That's what the ECB, that's the call they've made, and that's what we've got to deal with. We've just got to stay safe, stay fit, and be ready to go when we can go.
And Aaron, there's been a lot of talk really about what should happen with the cricket season. Of course, it's different to football because football, they had a few games left. Cricket's in a different situation where they haven't even started the season. Now it's been pushed back to July. It's looking likely maybe that if we do get any cricket, it's likely to be half a season. Have you got any ideas yourself how you'd like the 2020 season to play out, if it does at all?
That's a very difficult question. I think everybody wants to play some cricket, whatever that cricket may be. Obviously, at the minute, it's all about health and safety of the country, really, and the whole world. But I know I speak for a lot of members of the club. We just want to play any sort of cricket. It's going to be very difficult for some to just play some friendly cricket, you know, to get motivated again and play some friendly cricket. But I think we do, when that time is right and when that time is safe, play some sort of cricket, try and get something going. But we don't want to rush it, you know, as much as everybody wants to get out across that rope and onto the field. There's only one thing that we need to do at the moment, and that's take our time and do what we're told, unfortunately.
And why do you feel it is important if we do manage to maybe get a couple of games in, say, I don't know, end of August, September time? Why do you think it's important to play at least some cricket, even if it is friendly cricket? Because others might say, well, if it's not a competition, if it's not competitive, you know, let's not bother, let's just scrap it and go again in 2021. But that's an awful long time to be waiting, especially for maybe those clubs who are scrapping around for players down at the bottom of the Cambridgeshire Leagues, to go without playing cricket.
Clubs still need to run. You know, clubs still have bills to pay. They still have grounds to maintain. They still have pavilions to maintain and keep water flowing and keep heated. I don't feel you can just write off, you know, if no sponsors are going to bring in money because of their cricket, you then get in all sorts of trouble. You know, the small little clubs that rely on a sponsorship to keep it running. You could see clubs fold if there's no cricket. You know, you need to rely on a couple of games at least, get some players' memberships in, get some match fees in, and really start to put something back into the club.
Well, hopefully at some point in 2020 we do see some cricket, and of course we'll keep you all across it if there is any cricket here on Cambridge 105 Radio. How are you coping with lockdown yourself at the minute?
So I've been furloughed for about 5 weeks now as an electrician. So I'm used to being up and sort of on my feet all day. So it's been tough, but The missus and the two kids have been keeping me busy. A few jobs have been achieved that probably wouldn't have been achieved if I'd been at work. But yeah, staying safe, making sure we're doing our walks, and yeah, lots of time with the kids that I would never really have got, which is one positive to take out of this scenario. You know, I've spent 5 weeks with my kids that I would never ever have done if I was still at work.
Lovely to hear. I mean, there are positives come out of this horrible situation, which does seem crazy to think, of course, but people have done such amazing things, and one of those locally especially is yourself, Sawston and Bayburn Cricket Club, trying to run, cycle and walk 1,000 kilometres. Tell us a bit about this initiative that you've been trying to achieve over the last few weeks, Aaron.
So a few of the lads were doing the run 5K, donate 5K for the NHS 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and I thought I could expand that and take it as a whole club. Get the non-playing members walking, cycling. So I thought I'd set a challenge. And behind the scenes, we came up with 1,000 kilometres, thinking that was, you know, quite a large distance. And I thought, yeah, let's try and raise some money for Addenbrooke, being the local hospital, doing what they're doing. We've got a few members at the club and girlfriends of members that work at Addenbrooke. So it's a nice local hospital and they're doing an amazing job. You know, we need them. And at the moment, they need us. So that was the reasoning behind it, and hopefully we can raise £2,000 for them.
I believe in saying that you've actually extended the challenge because you managed to hit it in such a quick time. You managed it in 4 days, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I was overwhelmed. Like I said, to start with, I thought 1,000K was, you know, was quite a long way, but I actually done some checks and we'd done 1,000K within 4 days, and I tallied up and there were 60 club members that got involved. We've had a handful of ex-players already join in within 4 days, which is absolutely amazing. You know, I never thought that, never ever in a million years thought we were going to smash it in 4 days. I'm completely overwhelmed with how many people have got involved so far. So, yes, I've changed it, and it's now, let's try and achieve 1,000 in each three physical activities. So let's try and do 1,000 cycling, running and walking, which I still believe we can do. This is, you know, it's a massive jump, but I think we could do it. We're all going to get together. I think we're up at about 65, nearly 70 members that have joined in now, and it's hopefully only going to rise.
Brilliant. And what is the total amount of money you've managed to raise so far?
So we're just shy of £800 so far, which is, you know, really good. We're still getting the word out there, still advertising. So yeah, hopefully we can get up to the £2,000 mark.
And how have the players responded? Because I imagine at this time of year especially, they'd probably be spending 3-4 days a week down at the cricket club, most of the time active training, outdoors. And of course, with lockdown restrictions, they're going to be very much inside the majority of the time. How have they responded to the challenge and you, in a way, sort of making them get off the backside and getting outside and exercising?
So, yeah, I think I speak for quite a lot of people that we were taking it for granted. We were staying at home. We wasn't really exercising. And this has really got people out. You know, I've been running every day and I never in a million years would have done that. Had a few of the lads come to me and thank me. You know, they've found places that they didn't even know existed on their doorstep. They've been out, they're feeling healthy, they're feeling fit. They're getting out on the bike, they're getting out for walks and staying fit and healthy. And that's the main thing. You know, to have someone come to you and say thank you for getting me out of the house, getting me, you know, off the sofa is brilliant. It's really good.
Yeah, and hopefully it means they stay positive throughout this time, because of course it is a difficult time for so many, especially those who may be on their own and slightly isolated by all of this. Have you got perhaps a leaderboard going within the club, who's covered the most distance, who's been the most determined so far to get out there and try and raise as much money as possible?
Well, to be honest with you, Ollie, when I started it, I really didn't want it to be a competition. There's nothing wrong with a bit of healthy competition, but yes, behind the scenes, we are doing a chart of who's travelled the furthest. And I did do a little update for the lads and ladies who's covered the most distances. Yeah, so between the lads, I think it is a little bit of healthy competition.
Of course, this is another example, though. You mentioned the 5K, and we had Jamie on last week, run 5K for the NHS. Brilliant initiative. And it's just another example, this challenge set by Sawston, of people maximising really what they are permitted to do in a safe way. You know, we're allowed one exercise a day, and yourselves and people like Jamie have thought about that and thought, how can we make the most of it? And it's really shown what you can do without any equipment, without any, you know, real money, just getting out, using what's on your doorstep and creating something so positive out of it.
Definitely. And it, you know, it's as little or as large as you want it to be. We've had people doing just 1K because, you know, it all helps and it all goes towards that target. It's part of joining in. You know, we've had a couple of guys, I'm not going to name because I'll forget people, but we had a couple of guys smash out 100K cycles, which is absolutely huge. And that is their one exercise a day. And if that's how they feel, what they feel they can achieve, then good on them, and they're helping the cause. And we're really working as a club, and we're getting together, and we're hopefully going to achieve this.
Do you think this is something that potentially other cricket clubs could look at doing as well? Because, you know, many of them are going to be due to playing in the next few weeks, especially those lower down the leagues, perhaps those real village clubs, and they're going to be really missing their cricket over the next few weeks, maybe into the summer as well. And this looks like a great idea that could really bring those club members together again and hopefully put smiles on faces.
You'd hope so. Not just cricket clubs, you know, any sports club really, the football teams that have had their seasons cut short, same with the rugby lads. It just keeps everyone together. And I think you touched on it earlier, people living by themselves. You know, this is such a good way, talking, exercising. You're remotely in contact with other people, with your friends, with your teammates, and you're raising money for an amazing cause at the same time. You know, this could do wonders for other clubs, for us, for, you know, for the NHS and Adam Brooks mainly. But it's going to get people out. As you said, they should be at the club 2-3 times a week. They should be playing on a Saturday, playing midweek. And hopefully this is one way of staying fit and being ready when that season starts, being ready to go.
Yeah, it's funny. When we talk about these initiatives, and we have done a lot of them over the last few weeks on 105, you almost forget about the reason for doing it, because you praise the people who've set them up, because it's a brilliant initiative and it really is great for the people doing it to make them feel better. But you almost forget actually the reason for doing it is for the charities, Adam Brooks itself, who do an absolutely amazing work. And that is, I guess, the only real motivation needed to get up and exercise and raise money. If people want to get involved, Aaron, and donate, share, let people know about this great initiative, how can they do so? What are the social media pages? What's the website they can find out more about the campaign?
So, yeah, we're Sawston and Babram on Facebook and Instagram, and we're Sawston and Babram on Just Giving as well. Get on to Just Giving. I believe we're just shy, like I said, of the £800 mark. So we've still got a long way to go on donations, but let's get behind Adam Brooks. I, more than anyone at our club, have needed Adam Brooks on numerous occasions. You know, I was born there and I've needed him a lot in my life. And now's, you know, they need us now, and now's the time to give back. But yeah, find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our website as well, sawstonandbabram.co.uk. And yeah, if you can donate, please do.
Aaron, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Keep up the brilliant work, and hopefully you can hit the money mark that you're so desperate to hit.
Really appreciate it, Ollie. Thank you.
Cambridge 105 Radio. Sports on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yep, you're listening to the 105 Sports Special here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Up next is my conversation with Cambridge United Women's manager Ben Yeomans. I spoke to him earlier on this week as he made sure that the first ever Women's Hunts Cup final went ahead. They were due to play St Ives on Thursday, but of course they can't because of lockdown restrictions. But Ben managed to set up a quiz instead with lots of players involved. Ben also talks about all the info on the 2020-21 trial registrations for Cambridge United Women, which have recently opened in the last week. So Ben, let's start with lockdown yourself. How is lockdown treating you? How are you feeling?
Good. Staying positive. I've been sort of in lockdown a little bit before lockdown with what I do. My work was frozen just before the kind of announcement. So I've been in lockdown probably just over a month now. So it's gone beyond a bit of a break from work. My house is immaculate, my garden's immaculate, my dog's been overwalked. But no, I'm enjoying the spare time, the thinking time, the prep time. I find a ways to keep busy, and it's trying to keep a structure to my day without having sort of 9-to-5 work and that sort of thing was the challenge. But no, I'm in a positive mindset.
Good to hear. And I can completely relate to you with regards to structure and routine. Having this show specifically helped me a lot with regards to having something to aim for once a week. It's only one show a week, but it's something to sort of prepare for. And yourself, your job is obviously coaching and being outdoors a lot and spending time with, whether it be individual clients or a team, and that's probably completely different to your situation now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do spend a lot of time in the office these days in my old age. I don't do as much coaching as I used to. I'm managing to do a couple of virtual sessions on a weekly basis for a few of the kiddies teams that I coach during the week, which is good fun, and we look forward to that. But more than anything, just preparing for next season, whether it's business related stuff with the coaching that we do or with the women and planning pre-season and that sort of thing, keeping them sort of chatting and engaged and together socially on Zoom chats and little stretching and fitness exercises, or whether it's quizzes and stuff like that, but also a chance on a personal level to catch up with old friends and old family and that sort of thing. So I'm enjoying the time and finding other ways to keep busy.
So you'd thought you'd probably have a break from me during lockdown, but that isn't the case. With regards to Zoom and quizzes, you did one the other night. Of course, it was due to be the Hunts Cup final on the 23rd of April on Thursday with yourselves and St Ives. But you did something a little different instead, because you couldn't actually get out on the pitch and play.
Absolutely. It was a very spontaneous idea. Me and Darren, the St Ives manager, get on very well. And we built a real solid relationship over the last couple of months of what was the season. Me and Darren are both of the mindset of local teams helping each other. When I first got involved with United in a very small scale, and it's grown over the last couple of years into what being now the first team manager. One thing I did notice was that there wasn't much positive connection between local teams, whether it was youth outreach, whether it was teams of senior level. And that's one thing that I'm a massive advocate of. I don't dislike anybody or anything in football or in life, really. So to build bridges with local teams and hopefully provide more stepping stones and options for young girls and girls involved in football was on the agenda, right up there on the agenda. So look, me and Darren share the same mindset. He popped down to a couple of sessions of mine at the back end of the year. We were supposed to have this cup final on Thursday, but we were chatting through the week before and just thought, look, why don't we get something just fun, a little bit competitive together, to keep the girls engaged, just to kind of honour what was the first ever Hunts Women's Cup final. And it was brilliant. No, it was a good laugh. It was a good chance for us to kind of build bridges with other teams and have a laugh together. No, positive all round. And thanks, of course, for getting involved yourself. It was a great help.
Yeah, to those who don't know, I was referee, and I can safely say Chris Abbott, the CAMS FA, won't be hiring me as an referee for the season 20.
Moving forward. I thought you were spot on, mate.
Thank you.
I won't mention the comments of the current CAMS FA referees, eh?
yeah, exactly. We'll leave that for another time. With the amount of players there, was loads of players involved. How many from each side did you manage to get in?
Do you know what? I think on average there was about 11 or 12 involved, plus three or four that tuned in,
really?
Just coming home late from work, who just came to watch, and also a few local supporters. Gary Reid, local women's photographer, football photographer, he zoomed in. A couple of spectators, St Ives fans, asked and zoomed in, so it became a little bit of a spectacle, which was nice. So I think overall there was about 40 of us all within one Zoom call, so it was good fun.
Yeah, it was good fun, and must have been a lot of work for yourself though.
Do you know what, not so much when you're doing something you enjoy and it's all for a good cause, you forget that it's work. And I don't know, if I look back, it must have took me a few hours to get sorted and all the penalty shootout videos and that sort of thing to prepare, but it was a very light-hearted event. It was good fun and well worth the effort.
And just explain the penalty shootout in a bit more detail, because I imagine if people are listening to this and probably thinking about their own quizzes, they wouldn't think to do videos. They're probably just doing sort of normal question to question on the screen. But you got the girls to send in some videos.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different quizzes and ideas banging around on social media. And it was actually an idea that Nick Cuff, the assistant manager at United, forwarded me that he found online, where you get players to take penalties into an empty goal. It must be bottom left, bottom right, top left, top right, or down the middle, and send them into myself. So I had an accumulation of about 12 penalty videos that the girls had taken. I then contacted my goalkeeper, and bless her heart, it's really difficult to dive for a football that's not there, but she did five dives, left, top, bottom, top, left, right, bottom, right, and down the middle. And then I randomised them into 11 or 12 different numbers. And then we took it in turns. St Ives would take one, and then we'd show the clip of our goalkeeper that related to, so each player had a number, so we choose a number, for example number 7, they take their penalty, and then our goalkeeper's number 7 dive would then play, and if they synchronised, if the goalie dived the right way and the right height, then the goalie would save the penalty, and if not, the goal was scored. And no, it was good fun.
Yeah, it certainly was good fun. Let's go on to some other news now. And flicking through social media, saw that yourselves had opened up trial registrations for the 2020-21 season. And of course, we don't know when that season is yet, but the next season. What does that actually mean with regards to trial registration?
Well, first things first, we as staff, we had a sort of a 3-hour meeting early March now, when we got told that the season wasn't going to continue, to plan for next year. We spoke about everything from who's going to be involved down to who brings the sweets on a match day, just so we're as prepared as possible for the girls next year. There's not much we can do, but the things that are in our control, we just want to get cemented and sorted and ready so we can provide the best environment possible for the girls that choose to be involved at United next season. So there's not much we can do. There's not much we can't plan dates. We can't give dates out, but we can start getting names in, people that are keen, people that are interested. And then when we have got the luxury of being able to pick and choose dates for pre-season, then we can get them out to whoever's keen as quick as possible. So we've just sent a Google form out to anybody and everybody who's interested, and we're just accumulating a list of anybody who wants to be a part of the trials as and when they're available.
And is this trial to go straight into the first team and train with those guys, or is it more of just getting involved in the club, you know, playing football a bit more regularly, getting involved in the setup and through the pathways and seeing where you end up?
So the trials are for everyone, for anybody who wants to come and get involved. Selfishly, I'm personally looking for players to add to our first team quality. Leon, the development manager, is obviously doing the same. But ultimately, and another thing I've mentioned just very briefly at the start of the interview, is how important it is for me to build links and bridges with not just local teams, but the youth and the community in the area. Girls football is growing massively across the country, and especially in local football in Cambridge, there's more and more girls teams popping up left, right and centre. And similar to men's football, at the end of youth football, when you get into 16, 17, 18 years old, there's a real difficult jump from youth football into men's football. And if you look at statistics, there's a huge drop off of involvement. And that's something that bothers me and I want to do something about. So more than just first team and development players, we're looking to create a pathway for any sort of teenage young girl looking to come and get involved. I've spoken to Charlotte Crisp, who's one of our first team players, who also runs Cambridge United Girls program. She runs the whole thing. And just looking at what they've got to offer for what age groups and where we can benefit girls where there's not that much possibility. There's a couple of football education programs starting. United are starting their own first ever girls scholarship in partnership with CRC, which is a huge link. And also there's another one in partnership with Impington Village College, which isn't based around Cambridge, but it's another avenue for teenage girls to continue their football. We're also, I've been speaking to local teams, Histon, Newmarket, other local sort of county level teams, and just so we can build bridges. And the purpose of this is anybody who may be not quite good enough for the first team, not quite good enough for the development team, we can still keep them under our umbrella, dual sign them and send them out to local teams to be playing regular women's senior football and hopefully improve to benefit the local teams and long-term benefit us.
And great to hear. And of course, like you said earlier, it really creates those then bridges and links between other clubs. We didn't actually speak to you when the decision was made on the end of the season, back having it at the start of April, even April, March time, that from steps 3 to 7 of the National League and the Women's National League, the season would be null and void and all results expunged. You've had a bit of time to sit back, relax, digest everything, got more information from the government as well. Do you have a view on it, Ben?
I mean, I can't condone any sort of decision that's being made. I've had conversations with people in the women's game, people in the men's game. Some people believe it was made prematurely, but I genuinely believe any decision that was made was for the interests of public health. And look, at the end of the day, this is football, especially at the level we're at, where it's voluntary football. There's more important things in life than league standards. And yes, some people might have had a bit of a kick in the teeth. Some people might have got crazy lucky and we've probably gone to buy a lottery ticket over the next few weeks with where they were in the league or their situation and stuff like this from at whatever level, whether it's our level and men's football, kids football. So look, a decision had to be made. I'm not one to moan and complain. From our point of view personally, we just started to turn our season around. We'd had a difficult start to the season, as you well know, but we'd had a tricky run of games with teams around us. And we'd picked up some brilliant wins and some brilliant points, and I'd seen some real character in my team, and there was a real togetherness that had sort of been created and born within the squad. So I was really looking forward to the back end of the season. It's a shame that the season stopped when it did, but I completely understand the reasons why. The challenge for us now is to keep the girls keen to kick on from where we were and really build into next season and not let them sort of disintegrate and forget sort of the journey where we'd been and where we were on, you know. I'd always said that this season was a transitional season. They had a tough season last year with the style of football they were asked to play, and it was going to be a long process to change that, and we were just kind of getting our head above water with the confidence that we were showing as a team, and I was really impressed with where we were. So hopefully we can not lose much momentum and we can kick on as soon as we're allowed out and to start pre-season.
As a manager, what are you thinking right now then? Is it difficult to prepare for next season when you don't really know when that is?
Do you know what? Yeah, it is. It is. There's easier situations, but everybody's in the same boat. It's not like Cambridge United women are in a different situation to everybody else, you know. I love this time of the year. It's a fresh start. It's new ideas. It's like the spring clean of the football season. You can get rid of any kind of bad habits and anything that didn't maybe work so well. You can reassess what went well, what went wrong. From a staff point of view, from a player point of view, from a weekly routine point of view, from a training times and days point of view, you can just completely kind of survey everything that's involved in your club and start again. And I think it's from a coach's point of view, from a manager's point of view, it's important to keep reviewing yourself as well as reviewing your players and think, what can I provide to do more for the team and more for the squad and the club? So, a good time of year for us. It maybe helps that I've got less on work-wise, so I can invest more personal time into the women's side and maybe do as much as I can to help pre-season in this sort of period. But no, I wouldn't say it's too difficult. Everyone's in the same boat, so it's an even playing field.
Well, hopefully it's not too long before you're back on the touchline again and I'm badgering you throughout the week for interviews again.
Gives my voice a bit of a break, I tell you that much.
The listeners are crying out for you though, Ben. That's why we've got you back on. last of the day, you wanted to mention an inspirational little girl called Imogen on social media.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I'm a huge advocate of positivity and helping for the sake of helping. I've got quite a cynical view on humanity, which I'm sure you're aware of. But when like I was saying to you earlier, just before we went into the interview, how it's nice that this horrible situation with coronavirus is bringing a lot of positivity out, and people are just helping for the sake of helping and being good people. And it was actually Kev Hoover, the old United manager, who shared it with me this morning. So I had a little look on the website. I realised that I knew her personally, and I thought, look, I've got more than enough time in my day to do what I can. And look, she's off her own back. She's set up a Just Giving page. It's justgiving.com/team/7 million keepy uppy challenge for COVID heroes. It's a bit of a mouthful, but you just type it in on Twitter or Just Give and it pops up right away. She's trying to do 7.1 million keepy uppies. That's one keepy uppy for every key worker in this current time. And if you think about how many keepy uppies that actually is, it's an unbelievable amount. So the more people we can reach out to, the more people that just do their part, the easier it's going to be for her. I've been putting her or her link in touch with as many football avenues that I know, whether it's teams I play or played for, teams I coach, people I know like yourself. So look, this is a time where everyone's got a bit of spare time on their hands, generally. It doesn't take 5 minutes to go and do a few keepy uppies in the garden and send the video on. So no, good on her, and I like to see any sort of positive movements.
Well, if you want to follow on social media, you can do at Imogen, IMOGEN_PH. And like you say, John, she's 7.1 million keepy uppies, and some of the Cambridge United women players have offering been helping as well. And this is something everyone can get involved in, almost like donating keepy uppies. Have a go outside, filming it, and send it in the room to try and get up to that 7.1 million figure. And delighted to say also she'll be hopefully joining us on the show next week to update us on her progress. So it'd be great to chat to her. Ben, it's been a pleasure chatting to you as well, mate. And fingers crossed, won't be long before you're back in the dugout soon.
Thank you, bud. Really good to see you. Stay safe.
Cambridge 105 Radio. Sports on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yep, you're listening to the 105 Sports Special here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Lastly, on this evening's show, and joining me from a galaxy far, far away, is local football legend. Well, I introduced him as local football legend, but in fact, he's probably been on the show now more times about superheroes and film characters. So he is, you know what? He's now our superhero correspondent, Andy Jeffrey.
Hello, Ollie. How are you? Yeah. It's far more interesting as well.
Very well, thank you, Andy. How are you?
Yes, super. Thanks very much.
Good. A couple of weeks since we last spoke to you, and you mentioned last time you were working as well, working at home, but I can imagine you have popped out now and again to enjoy what has been some absolutely lovely weather. How's lockdown been treating you over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, as I said before, we're very lucky. We have our health, we've got a garden, and been able to work from home as well, so yes, all is good. And it's a lovely peaceful village as well, and I think the community has really pulled together. People are being a lot friendlier, you notice, at the moment.
Actually, yes, someone else said that to me the other day. It seems to, whether it's sort of out walking or just in general, whether it's online, but interacting with people, they do seem to be a lot nicer. So, you know, again, another silver lining, if there is any, from, of course, the horrible virus, is maybe perhaps people being slightly more positive. Of course, the exercise as well is a big thing. You were telling me before we came on air that you managed to get out and have a go on your bike as well.
Yeah, I hadn't been on it for years, and now I can't do without it. I've got to have my post 5 o'clock bike ride.
Love
this. Is it? It's nice because we can go out as a family, and it's just those things that you miss when you sort of work and you have to commute, you know. So,
with regards to what you've been getting up to, or what you're planning to do, sorry, over the next few days, Andy, you've got some very exciting news for us.
Yes, as you say, from a galaxy far, far away, we have some interstellar visitors coming into the village of Longstanton.
Ooh.
By popular demand, by the looks of it, and that is some of the favourite characters from Star Wars who are going to be making a trip around the village. I think they heard that there were some good deals on at the local co-op.
It sounds like they did, and they got in touch with yourself to bring the news. Of course, for those who perhaps didn't listen to the show when you were on a couple of weeks ago, they may be thinking, well, what the heck are they going on about? But Longstanton, they're used to superheroes and characters paying a visit, because just explain what you did a couple of weeks ago.
Well, there must be something in the water in Longstanton, because it's a hotspot for some of your favourite film characters. Just a couple of weeks ago, we did have Spider-Man, Batman, Deadpool and Captain America making a tour around. So there's certainly something going on, and the village has something going for it, obviously. Maybe it's the Hollywood of UK.
Could be. You'll see a big Longstanton sign over a hill somewhere in the next few days, maybe just before the A14. That'd be nice.
Under construction.
I look forward to seeing it. Have you been made aware what Star Wars characters will be descending on the streets of Longstanton?
Well, so far, we can confirm that we will have Stormtroopers. We will have Kylo Ren. And also, for all of those fans of Star Wars, the number one bad guy, Darth Vader, will be there. There is hopefully the possibility that we will have some Jedi and Rebel representation as well. We're very hopeful that we'll have Rey and Princess Leia joining us.
Will these characters be able to keep themselves at bay? Obviously, they're used to going at it and going at it with each other in the films, but they're having to probably keep their distance this time.
Yeah, the Force will help. But also they are happy to observe the Earth's social distancing rules at the moment.
Oh, I don't want to ruin it, but we're getting into the crux of the conversation. Now, how many people will be taking part in this Star Wars walk through Longstanton?
Well, as I say, we've definitely got five. So we could have a small phalanx of troopers with the two Dark Lords there. And if we can get the Rebel representation, that'll be seven. And we have been saying to people, because, you know, Star Wars is a big franchise, if there are some grown-ups out there in the village who have got their outfit tucked away and never had the chance to wear it. Now could be the time.
And last time, I wouldn't say complaining, but your achy legs were talking a little bit because you'd done a lot of distance last time, winding in and out the streets along Stanton. Have you managed to map out a concise route this time?
Yeah, we've basically got something. We're going to be putting it on the local village Facebook sites over the next day or so. We've kind of mapped it out, so we're going to let people know where we will be walking. It'll still be 5 miles in total in outfits, but it will just make sure that during their exercise period, perhaps people can come out to a safe place at a safe distance from other villagers and come and see the characters if they'd like to. But we'll still get around plenty of streets.
Excellent. Well, just to remove any doubt for any of the listeners, I said a couple of weeks ago, Andy and a number of guys from Long Stanton were dressed up as superheroes, paraded the village to put on a show, really, for a number of the youngsters and adults who enjoyed superhero films. And they're doing the same on the 3rd of May, I believe, with Star Wars characters too. You got a great reception last time, Andy, from the village. How do you think the kids will react this time? Do you think it'll be a similar levels of excitement?
I hope so. I think actually with Star Wars, because it's been going so long, you've got a lot of grown-up fans as well. And I definitely do think this time especially we'll have people of all ages who will be coming out to see the characters. There's been a lot of good interest already in the event that we've put up, Long Stanton Star Wars Patrol. So we shall see, you know. And it's a shame we would have really, really liked to have done it on the Monday if there'd still been a bank holiday there, because that, of course, would have been May the 4th.
Of course.
But May the 3rd is the closest we can get, because everyone who's doing it actually still has to go and work the next day. Unfortunately, Darth's a bit of a taskmaster and said, everyone's got to go and terrorise a galaxy somewhere on Monday. No day off.
Well, full credit to all of the Star Wars characters for continuing their work on the Monday. And like you said, it's something adults would love as well. And of course, whilst doing it, you'll be adhering to the safety measures put out by the government as well. And I've done a bit of research for you, Andy. I thought I'd help you out a little bit, just in case those who are into their Star Wars are unclear on the social distancing measures. It's 2.22 lightsabers away you need to be. And that is exactly 2 metres.
Oh, that's fantastic.
There you go.
Well, that at least will keep them all separated, won't it? So
it will.
You know, if you're more than 2 lightsabers away, then you can't clash.
Exactly that. There you go. And this time, Andy, I believe you're raising money for charity from doing it. You got such a great reception and feedback last time. People want to donate and credit you for the amazing community work.
Yeah, I mean, last time when it was the superheroes, we honestly didn't even think about it. It was just something to try and cheer up the younger residents of the village. But we had a lot of feedback afterwards saying that, you know, people really appreciate it. Was there some way that they could donate, or were we doing it for any kind of cause? So this time what we've decided to do is give people the opportunity to make a donation via just giving to MagPass, because quite rightly so, our healthcare workers and social care workers and emergency services are getting a lot of credit and plaudits at the moment. But we just thought it was important to remember a service like MagPass, who are there for us as well 365 days a year, and can really, you know, perform some life-saving services for us in this area. So if people go to the Long Stanton Star Wars Patrol Facebook page, they can also go to link on to get to Just Giving for that, or they can go direct to Just Giving, and it's Andrew's Long Stanton Star Wars Patrol.
Fabulous initiative, like we said before, Andy, and a great cause nonetheless. The details, as you said, are on Facebook, Long Stanton Star Wars Patrol, and your Just Giving page, Andrew's Long Stanton Star Wars Patrol too. Hopefully you can raise a great amount of money for the fabulous work that MagPass do. Now, this is an interesting topic for me, and one I've been researching this afternoon, because regrettably I have to tell you, Andy, that I've never seen a Star Wars film.
What? Come on.
Sorry. I've never watched a Star Wars film. So I'm giving you the challenge, Andy Jeffrey. Can you sum up the 9 Star Wars films, that I believe there have been 9, in, let's say, 30 seconds?
What, 25 hours in 30 seconds?
Yep, easy peasy. I will start the clock now.
It's binary good versus evil, light versus dark. The force in all things. It's a dynasty of the Skywalkers as they try and fight against the evil empire. And there is space, and there are fighters, and there are lightsabers, and there are blasters, and there are stormtroopers who can't hit a blooming thing, which is just as well, or else there had only been about two films. And it's a rip-roaring ride all the way through. And if I was going to recommend to anyone else who hasn't seen them, but I think there's you and some other guy, watch 4, 5, and 6 first, because they're awesome.
Perfect. Just over time, but we'll let you off anyway. Beautifully explained. Andy Jeffrey, thank you very much for coming on.
Welcome at all. Thanks for having me.
And just remind us again when this is happening for people in Longstanton listening, when they can look out their windows and be amazed at the streets of Longstanton are filled with their favourite Star Wars characters.
No worries. It's Sunday, 3rd of May. The launch is from midday and we'll be starting at the Rampton Drift End for villagers and making our way through the route. So keep your eyes on the Facebook sites and the event, and you'll see the route all mapped out on there for you.
Andy, once again, thank you very much for joining me, and glad you're well. Stay safe, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you very much, Ollie. Much appreciated. Thank you for your time, and may the force be with you.
Likewise, may the force be with you, Andy. Cheers.
Bye.
Cambridge 105 Radio.